It was really exhilarating to hear Rav Shechter Shalita, who was a B'liyan Hara, master of Kol HaTorah Kula, from his fingertips. It just exudes, you just feel it. I will come down from the stratosphere and try to talk a little tachlis, a little what to do on Shabbos Chanukah. I chose it as the topic because it happened and will happen. It's one of those years when we have two Shabbos Chanukahs. And then we'll try to discuss what all of us did a couple of days ago, and maybe we should consider doing something a little bit different in the Shabbos Chanukah Habolein Letovo. There's a big dispute as to exactly when one fulfills the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah on Friday, which is Erev Chanukah, or any Friday on Chanukah. There's an obvious problem. The Gemara tells us that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Mishatishka Chama. We know that once the sun sets on Friday, is an Isa Malacha. There's an obvious problem. How do you light Neros Chanukah on Friday? Everyone agrees one may not be Mechalel Shabbos in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. That's clear. But what do you do? How do you handle it? So, by way of background, we have to introduce a dispute which goes far beyond the parameters of Chanukah and applies to all Kol Dinei HaTorah. And this is a dispute which is focused on the Tosfos Masechta Shabbos and Psachim and elsewhere as to exactly when the halachic day begins. You may know that there are two poles surrounding a twilight zone, which you know in halacha is Ben HaShemashos. These two poles are what we call Shkia, the beginning of Ben HaShemashos, and until that time it's considered to be certainly day. Then after Shkia starts a period called Ben HaShemashos, twilight, Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila. And then there's a time called Tes HaGochavim, which is considered to be Vaday Laila. Between Shkia and Tes HaGochavim, the Gemara tells us there is 3/4 of a mil. Mil ranges between 18 and 24 minutes. And so therefore, Ben HaShemashos is a fairly short period of time. Yet elsewhere, the Gemara tells us that Tes HaGochavim is actually 4 mil after the sun sets. 4 mil is a very long time. If a mil is 18, it would be 72 minutes. Or that or longer. So how do you reconcile these two contradictory Gemaras? It's a basic machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam, who blazed a new answer into this difficult problem. And Rabbeinu Tam is followed by many Gedolim, both Ashkenazi and Sfardi, and Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, all followed the Rabbeinu Tam. And to this day, there are many individuals who keep what we call the Rabbeinu Tam's man, at least as far as Shabbos is concerned, Motzei Shabbos is concerned. And they will not do any melacha until 72 minutes after the sun sets. Chassidim almost all follow the Rabbeinu Tam in Chutz Laaretz. And some of the yeshiva world, it's followed. They keep the Rabbeinu Tam's man. So Rabbeinu Tam says that there are two kinds of shkiyas. There's the astronomical shkiyah, which is almost irrelevant. And then there is the what he calls a shkiyah shnia, which is exactly 3/4 of a mil before we'll call it 72 minutes. Good. This is Rabbeinu Tam's view. The Vilna Gaon, who harkens back to the period of the Gaonim, the Tshuvas HaGaonim, the Rav Hai Gaon, says the Rav Shrira Gaon, presumably all the Gaonim held this way, probably the Rambam held that way, the Tshuvas Maram al-Ashkar held that way, Beferish, in the name of the Gaonim. And that's what many of us observe. At the moment the sun sets beneath the horizon, which we call Shkia, that's already a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. And for a fairly short period thereafter, it's Ben HaShemashos, and then comes what's called Tes HaGochavim. The stars, we see stars long before 72 minutes. Long before. How long before? Well, it depends where you are. Depends where you are, both in terms of the latitude above the equator. It depends if you're in a city where there's a lot of pollution and artificial light. A recent sefer came out, a beautiful sefer called Zmani Hayom BaHalacha, which he had his soldiers. We heard before from Rav Shechter Shalit about the soldiers. He had soldiers who were on duty somewhere in the Negev. He said, you know, while you're on duty, if you have a free moment, look up and look for stars. And they found stars, believe it or not, 14 minutes after the sun set, which is proof of the Vilna Gaon's opinion, 14 minutes, that's 3/4 of 18 minutes, and that's when they found stars. Here in New York, you will not find stars in 14 minutes, no matter how you try, how hard you try, but a little bit longer than that, if you go into an area where there's no artificial light or pollution, you perhaps will be able to find stars in under half an hour, again, depending on the time of the season. We spend time in a different kind of a machna than Rav Shech. That's what we're a machna called Machna Morasha. We've been going for many years, and we've had a few different experiments, and they've come to basically the same conclusion, that even in the summer, in July, you can see stars approximately a half an hour after the sun sets, because there's no pollution. You go in a place where there's no artificial light. Okay. That's just by background. I assume everyone knows these general rules. Generally, we follow the Vilna Gaon. We consider it to be night, the Suffolk night from the moment the sun sets. How far exactly we keep Ben HaShemasha, so on Shabbos we keep longer because you need 3 Kochavim Ritzufim, we learn in Yerushalmi. But for other purposes other than Shabbos, generally speaking, if you wait a half an hour or thereabouts, some say a little more, some say a little bit less, it's considered to be Vaday Laila. Probably we have more Machmer for the Oraisas and less Machmer, more Maker for the Rabbanans. That's just a general overview. Now, so when do you light the candles? When? So, the Ritva says in the Sechta Shabbos that although he's going with the Rabbeinu Tam, as did the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ravid, many of those Gedolim follow the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore one might have thought that you can, when it says Mishatishka Chama, you can only light the Neros Chanukah much later, well after the sun sets beneath the horizon. Says the Ritva, and it's not true. You can light Ner Chanukah from the moment the sun sets beneath the horizon. What's his proof? His proof is from Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you cannot possibly wait until Ben Hashmoshes. Ben Hashmoshes is Chas V'Shalom to light the Ner Chanukah. It's a Doraisa. So it must be from an earlier time. What's the earlier time? When the sun sets beneath the horizon, then already there's no light anymore, and the candle gives illumination. But before that, it's too early. Why is it too early? To quote the Rishonim saying this after Shabbos, Shraga b'tihara mayahani. What good does a candle do in the middle of when the sun is shining? Okay. So therefore, according to the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, those who follow him, although the Suffolk Lila does not begin until about an hour after the sun sets, an hour before that, once the sun sets beneath the horizon, you may light candles all week long and on Shabbos. And they derive all week long from Shabbos. That's what the Ritva says in Masechta Shabbos. Fine. According to the Vilna Gaon, however, you have a big problem, a major problem. What do you do? What do you do on Friday night? You'll say you'll light Ner Chanukah after the sun sets. Chas v'shalom, it's an Issa Shabbos d'oraisa. See, obviously you have to light before that. But so it would seem. The Ran in Masechta Shabbos, it's page Yudim and Aleph and Dapi Harif, quotes from an amazing idea from the Baal Halachos Gedolos, who suggests, well, maybe we should light candles on Friday night at sunset. At sunset? That's already a Doraisa. Well, there's an opinion in the Gemara Masechta Shabbat of Lamed Hey that tells us that we have a window. And the window is, as the Gemara puts it, 1/12 of a mil. That's ranging between a minute and a half or 2 minutes. That's when you should light Ner Chanukah. Can you imagine that? A minute and a half to 2 minutes. The Avnei Nezer has two tshuvas about this in Aruch Chaim, Tov Tzadi Zayin and Tov Tzadi Ches. He asks, are we like Itzdagneni Paro? No, Bachatzos, Kachatzos, that we can figure out how to light within those 2 minutes. It's inconceivable. It's inconceivable. It's a very, very powerful question. I once gave an answer which is based on a radical chiddush that I had, which is printed in my Sefer Masechta Brachos in the second Siman, that it's possible. At this machlokus between the Vilna Gaon and Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Vilna Gaon and those who follow him, may in fact be the same machlokus between Rabba and Rav Yosef. That Rabba says that the sun's Ben HaShemashah begins at sunset. That's Shita Sagra. That's how we paskin, according to them. Whereas Rav Yosef, who has this extra little 2 minutes, it may not be just 2 minutes. Maybe 2 minutes, but an hour later. That's to explain the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hey with a riff. Again, not going into that chiddush now. If that's the case, we understand very well that according to Rav Yosef, you have a large margin. But the Avnei Nezer asked the kasha, we asked, like, it's tagdine paro. So, okay, so we are not going to take any chances. We're going to light Ner Chanukah significantly before the sun sets beneath the horizon. That's fine. How significant is significant? That's the question. So here we find, Kedarka Shel Torah, Gedolei Olam have diametrically opposing views. It's not the first time. You know, we'll start with one way. There's a minig in Yerushalayim, as many of you may know, you've been there 40 minutes before the sun sets beneath the horizon. You hear the siren. 40 minutes? That's a very long time. Why 40 minutes?
Huh?
Save for Yerayim, that Rabbi Weiss suggests, would not explain 40 minutes. The Sefer Yerayim says that 3/4 of a mil before the sun sets beneath the horizon, that's already Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Lyle. That's at most 18 minutes. At most. That's exactly why we have 18. That's what we have officially on our calendars. Lichtzinden is 18 minutes before the sun sets, although many Gedolim and many plain people are not so careful about that 18 minutes. There's a remarkable tshuva by Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he was driving, was being driven to shul from his house into Tiferes Yerushalayim, and those who know the geography, and then the Lower East Side, and there was, let's say, a week like this, they give the exact times, let's say it was this week, where the Nich Pensha was 4:10 or something like that, so Rav Moshe at 4:13 was in a car going to the yeshiva, and some lady berated him. What? The Rosh Yeshiva was a Mechal Shabbos? My calendar says 4:10, and at 4:13 he's riding in the car. So he writes back apologetically, I understand where you're coming from, but you know, the sun didn't set until 4:30, and this is 4:10, and at 4:13, I had 17 more minutes, but because you wrote me this letter, or you called me up, I'm going to stop doing it. Can you imagine? The Godel Hador stops his practice because of some lady in the Lower East Side who thinks he's a Mechal Shabbos. This is mind-boggling, the anivus of Rav Moshe. Some other rabbi said, what are you talking about? Anyway, so in passing, Rav Moshe writes there, how much Tosefa Shabbos do you need? In passing, that's not the main point of the tshuva, 2 minutes, he says. Mandatory Tosefa Shabbos is 2 minutes. Where 2 minutes come from? Doesn't explain where he got it from. I have a theory where it may come from, the 2 minutes. The theory goes as follows. The Vilna Gaon is Magia, the Rambam and Hilchos Kriya Shema. The Rambam tells us how much time it takes times it's feel of a seeking, how much time you have to start before. So the Rambam, his Magia Kishlish Iser Shah. A third of a tenth of an hour. Where's a third of a tenth of an hour? That's 2 minutes. Where does that come from? So the thinking is that's how long it takes for the sun to rise. That's Pshat in that Rambam. And if, as a matter of fact, if you ask the scientists, they'll tell you that to take the sun to rise is 2 point something minutes. The Gaon knew his science. 2 point something minutes. So it stands to reason, and I think the scientists confirm this as well, it takes another 2 point something minutes for the sun to set. So therefore, it takes 2 minutes for the sun to set, so presumably, Rav Moshe is going like this. There's a Mishnah in Shabbos, after Zion and Mebeis, which says, V'chulon beis hilal matirim im ha-shemesh. In contrast to Beis Shammai's view, which we won't go into now, you can do malacha im Hashemesh. Rashi says 3 words. The top Rashi in Yudches Amud Aleph. Ba'od hachama zorachas. As long as the sun is shining. So as long as the sun is shining, so of course you can do malacha. So Rav Moshe says, how can it be? What about the Tosefa Shabbos? So maybe the pshat is, as long as the sun is completely shining, the whole great yellow ball of fire is visible, then you can do malacha. Once it starts to set, even the bottom part sets, that's already Tosefa Shabbos, and you have to keep 2 minutes. That's what I'm guessing Rav Moshe may have gotten it from, perhaps from that Mishnah. As an aside, 2 minutes is really not enough because your watch may be wrong and the chart may be wrong. You should add a little bit to that 2 minutes. I think 5 minutes is a safer margin, and after you should try not to avoid doing any malacha so close to the shkiyah. However, since we're going to consult with some of the Maramakomas, the very last Maramakom, the very last Maramakom, no, I take that back. This is the Maramakom which didn't make it into print. I'm beginning to learn the ropes that they only have certain svarim on the Bar Ilan, and I wasn't zeichet to have them printing separately. I was going to quote a Shita Mekubetzes in Masechta Beita Daf Lamed. It's not here, but it's there. The Shita Mekubetzes in Beita Daf Lamed says that how much is a shear of Tosefta Shabbos? It's clearly a shear, he says, and the shear is Chatzi Shoh, a half an hour. A half an hour. Half an hour before dark, one may not do any malach. Half an hour. So it's possible that that's a pshat minig Yerushalayim. That they're going with this sheet of a half an hour. And a half an hour, that's in the equinox. But we all know that this shows manias. So a half an hour in the summertime, in New York, is 37 minutes, 30, maybe 38 minutes. It's a lot. In Eretz Yisrael, maybe a little bit less. The days are not quite as long, closer to the equator. But presumably at least 35 minutes. So in order, if you wanted to finish the Ner Shabbos before that, they blow the siren at 40 minutes before. That's my pshat in this Minig Yerushalayim. However, I want to add something else, since we just were privileged here from Rav Shechta Shlita. Those of his Talmidim who know that he, Rav Shechta Shlita, follows this Minig as well. I don't know if he's mentioned the Shurim recently, but we've heard this from him for many years, that he will not do Malach on Friday a half an hour before the sun sets beneath the horizon. You've heard it? Yeah. The Talmid, I've heard it from his mouth, not making up a story, that a half an hour before the sun sets beneath the horizon, he will not do Malach. And if I'm not mistaken, he won't even daven Mincha then. If you look carefully, if you ever see him on the Shabbos, and the daven Mincha, just the regular, when the rest of the world davens Mincha, he won't be davening then. He probably davened before. Confirmed? Confirmed. Okay, confirmed. That's his custom. What do you do with the rest of Klal Yisrael? They also, we have to defend them too. So, as far as davening, we could say davening is, alright, it's not, even though you're not doing malacha, it doesn't mean you can't daven, not quite exactly the same thing. But as far as doing malacha is concerned, everyone does malacha. 99.9% of the people doing malacha within the last half an hour of the sunset. What happened to the Shita Mekubetzes? So if you look carefully, the Shita Mekubetzes is going according to the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not Laila until 72 minutes after the sun sets. So they had this gather that a half an hour before that, we'll call it mandatory Tosefta Shabbos. As a matter of fact, in Europe, where many people kept the Rabbeinu Tam, not only L'chumra, but even L'kula, that was the minhag in many towns. Seems to be the minhag of the Mechaba and the Ramo as well. Traditionally, from what we have passed down to us historically, we have records. We have records of the Zmana that were printed in Satmar, for example, and other such towns in Hungary, just up until World War II. They were printed, typed. They never allowed you to do Malacha until 58 and a half minutes after the sunset. Impossible, never. Absolute latest, the very latest, was, we'll say, call it 42 minutes after the sunset, which of course corresponds to that mandatory half an hour before the 72 minutes. Right? Most of them stopped even a little earlier than that, but you see that this was a custom according to Rabbeinu Tam. But according to the Vilna Gaon and the Gaonim, how is it possible to say half an hour? It's against the Mishnah. V'chul and beis hillel matirin im hashemesh. The Pashup Shad is that there's no need for a mandatory time any more than 2 minutes. 2 minutes and 30 minutes is a big difference. That's the Pashup Shad. Okay. Now we come to Shabbos Chanukah. When does one light Neros Chanukah on Friday Shabbos Chanukah? When? So, I'm sure if you're in Rav Shechta Shlita's house, there's no question about it, that they lit the Neros Chanukah more than a half an hour before the sun set beneath the horizon. And some of the Vasikei Yerushalayim would, in fact, treat Shabbos Chanukah the same as any other Shabbos. Neiros Shabbos 40 minutes before Shkia. And, as we'll see in a minute, the custom that most of us have is that Ner Chanukah precedes Ner Shabbos. So they'll be lighting Neiros Shabbos approximately, let's say, 45 minutes before the sun sets beneath the horizon. That was the minhag of Vasikei Yerushalayim. However, there were great Yerushalmi Gaonim who made an exception to the rule, a once or twice a year exception to that 40-minute rule. Amongst them, Hagoyin Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, which is written in his name, I think you can find it in the various Svarim, that he would light the Neros Chanukah 25 minutes before the sun set. Presumably the Rebbetzin lit Ner Shabbos thereafter. That's, I don't know if that's written, but presumably. Why? Where 25 minutes come from? What kind of number is this 25? So it's quoted, it's explained his position, that he wanted to make sure that we light the Ner Chanukah, if we can't do it after the sunset, that's impossible, we'll call Samuch L'Shkiyah Sacham. Now Samuch, we find the Shir many places, is half an hour. And Rav Shechter would often say that his half an hour, which he had kept Yisra Malacha, is a Tosef Shabbos Doraisa, and he used to say that whenever we, it's probably printed one of the Sfarim, that whenever we have Samuch, Samuch L'Mincha for Arvei Pesachim, you know, Samuch, we shouldn't eat. That's a called, as you heard it from a few minutes ago, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, Ke'ein Doraisa Tikkun. And the Doraisa is Tosef Shabbos. Have you heard that too? Good. So, Samuch. So, that's why I have to smile. Gedolei Torah come to exactly opposite conclusions based on the same lumps. Here, Rav Shechter says, don't you dare do a malacha Samuch L'Shkiyah Sachama, because that's Tosef, mandatory Tosef Shabbos. Here's Rav Shlomo Zalman saying, you must light the Neros Chanukah Samuch L'Shkiyah Sachama. Otherwise, it's too early. Too early. So, where do you get 25 minutes from? So, I'm guessing that 25 minutes is based upon Shos Manius. Shos Manius here in New York in December could be as little as 23 minutes for half an hour. The hour is 46 minutes. Look in your charts. I assume that in Eretz Yisrael, closer to the equator, that it's 25 minutes, you know, until you say the brachas, since it's 24. So that's already going to be Samuch L'Shkiyah Sachamas. Isn't it amazing how Gedolim come to opposite conclusions based on the same Yesodus, which is Kedarka Shel Torah? So this is what it says in the Sfarim quoting from Shlomo Zalman. However, this runs against a lashon of the Rambam, who says that we can light on Friday. Bi'od hayom gadol. Bi'od hayom gadol sounds like it's a pretty early time. Additionally, there's another mechaber who says that b'shas atchak, a person is torah and is dochuk, he can light Neros Chanukah in general as early as Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha was an hour and a quarter before the day is out. So that's way before. There's a sefer, which I just wanted to bring one sefer with me. I brought a sefer called the Mo'adim Uzmanim. Mo'adim Uzmanim by Rav Sternberg, Shalita, has a piece on this in Chelek Beisim and Kuf Nun Beis. He doesn't understand this at all. He thinks, as well, that you have to light the Neros Chanukah as close as possible to the Shkiyah. As close as possible. He quotes that that Ran. You do it, you know, just as the sun is setting. Says, look how much Chachamah were afraid not to make it too early. Can't make it too early. Therefore, he says as follows. Even the Mechaber, who does say, can't deny the Mechaber. When the Mechaber said that you may, if you're a pickle, light a menorah an hour and a quarter before the end of the day, says the Mechaber L'shitaso, who's following Rabbi Natam. So if you know what the Rishonim say, if you follow Rabbi Natam, Plag HaMincha is a shtus mil. It's 3 minutes or so before the sun sets beneath the horizon. That's the way it is. That's 72 minutes, that's 75 minutes, whatever. We're not going to the specific minutes right now. Maybe a different calculation, but not going into that. But very shortly before the sun sets beneath the horizon, that's okay. But to light candles at the Plag HaMincha of the Gra, which is an hour and a quarter before the sun sets beneath the horizon, that's much too early. We don't find anybody, he says, who's so permissive. And that's a very big statement for us, because people now that are working with an assumption, you can light Neros Chanukah as early as an hour and a quarter before the sun sets. You know, if you're in a rush, an hour and a quarter would be like an hour in December, but not so simple. It's not so simple. What we're suggesting now, if you want to follow these Gedolim, Rav Shlomo Zalman and his school, you shouldn't light Neros Chanukah even in a pinch, more than 23 minutes before the sun sets beneath the horizon. Just pointing this out, it's not so simple during the week as well, when people have weddings to go to, etc. The proper thing is to wait at least until 23 minutes before Shkiyah, more proper to wait until Shkiyah, and more proper to wait until 23 minutes after Shkiyah, which is likely the Tzeisik HaChav, at least with the Rabbanon, is concerned. Okay, so this is a first topic for today. When exactly should an individual light the menorah on Friday? Okay. Let's now discuss the second question. What comes first? Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah. So here in the Makoros, on Makor number one, is a Rashba. Old Kosov Baal Halochasal. This is the famous Bahag. Number one. Veheicha de Kaboya Adluki Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos. You have to do both. Bereisha Madlik Lechanukah. Vahodar Madlik Lechabbos. The Madlik Lechabbos Bereisha Itzaleh Adluki Ner Chanukah. This is the famous Bahag. Everyone knows about this. Everyone knows that the Bahag said that Hadlokas and Neiris and Shabbos is Kabbalah Shabbos, but if you look at Nilchus Shabbos, you won't find it. It's a Nilchus Chanukah. Amazing. It's a Nilchus Chanukah. Hence, you must light the Ner Chanukah first. The Rashi is with Divrei Teimahim. The Hadloka Einu also Kabbalah. And he brings Rayas and Rayas. It's hard for me to go into all the riots now, but that's what the Rashba argues, the Ramban before him argued. Many people are arguing on this Baal Halachas Gedolos. But the question, of course, is why are they arguing? And how do we understand the Baal Halachas Gedolos? It's a bit complex. There are two ways to understand the Baal Halachas Gedolos. There are two ways. One way is a matter of fact, that the Bahag thought, since this is Ner Shabbos, so in point of fact, the average individual who is lighting a candle is probably mekabel upon himself Ner Shabbos. But what if you know explicitly to the contrary, that a person is not mekabel upon himself Shabbos? So, I'm not mekabel. We call that making a t'nai. There are many individuals who make such a t'nai. They have to take a trip, they drive into shul, they light the Ner Shabbos, and they make a t'nai, and they drive to shul subsequently. According to this understanding of the Baal Halachas Gedolos, it would be fine. However, it seems to me, honestly, that if one wants to be a purist and analyze the real Baal Halachas Gedolos, what did he say? I would rather accept the opinion of the Rabbeinu Peretz, found in source number 10. We'll preface it with source number 9. Source number 9 says Haminig. The Minig is to accept the opinion of the Baal Halachas Gedolos. That's what's quoted to be Mekabel Shabbos. Now, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'im Ish Madlik, as opposed to a woman. If a man is Madlik, Afilu Kshu Mevarach Al Hadlakoso, Lekam In Hoga, Umuta Bimlocha, Mikomakam Tov Lahasnas. So we all know that classically, this is true to this day, that a woman who lights candles typically is Mekabel Shabbos as soon as she lights candles. That's what the widespread custom is, that a woman will light the candles and only then say the bracha. But a man doesn't have that custom. But still, it's better to make a tanaya condition. Why should women be different than men? We don't fully understand. Why this is not the Zman Grom over here? What's the difference? Putting that aside for the moment, if you look in Rabbeinu Peretz, cited number 10 in the Beis Yosef, he quotes the start from the beginning. Miyum Haram, this is Marami Rutenberg, Hinig Vitziva Lahasnos Kodam Shiyadlik, She'ena Mekabel Shabbos, At Sheyosim Miyodo Haner Shidlikbo, Oad Tfilo, Dimlokin Hayom Metalt, Lobi Yisrach, Hashidlik Ner Shal Shabbos, Kosev Amorachah. Umashim Lushonu Dukshoyim Kain Bedato Sagi, Afa Pishlo Hista Bepet, no need to say it explicitly, verbally. Fine. V'nira midvara from the Maravid would appear, tafilu l'das bahag shari b'hochim. He understood the bahag to be, as a matter of fact, the average person accepts Shabbos without lakas aneris. However, Rabbeinu Peretz, cholak al aran, and says, b'nei bias may be the case, avil isha shemadlekes, and it doesn't only mean isha, it means anyone, the one who lights, he asura lasas malach aliyacha shedlika, and he explains why. The kevan shemivareches aleha ein lecha kabbala gedola mizu ve'ein moel la shum tnai. That a condition will not help. Once you make a bracha lahadik ner shal Shabbos, the Shabbos is upon you. There's no choice in the matter, and therefore tnai in fact will not help. This seems to be, honestly, the real pshat in the Bahag. Not just a matter of you want it, you don't want it. Seems to me, this is the purest version, seems to be the more accurate version of the real Bahag, that's mandatory. What's the lumdus behind this Baal Halachas Gedolos? So I believe it's as follows. I believe it's as follows. What is Tosefta Shabbos? It's another very major question. What is it? What do the words Tosefta Shabbos mean? So I believe that the custom that we follow, again, 99% of Klal Yisrael, that we follow, is Tosefta Shabbos, as we mentioned earlier. 2 minutes, we'll try to make it into five, all right? That we simply do, we cease and desist from Malacha before the sun sets. That is our fulfillment of Tosefta Shabbos. We don't speak about it, we don't think about it, we just do it. We just don't do Malacha shortly before the sun sets beneath the horizon. That is our fulfillment of Tosefta Shabbos. Do we accept the concept of formally accepting it? Yes. Once a person formally accepts it, he cannot renege, as a general rule, that's what we assume. How does one formally accept it? Very simple. Hareini Mekabel Shabbos. You say three words, Hareini Mekabel Shabbos, and done. Voila. That's Tosefta Shabbos. Most of us, I assume, in the room don't say that every Shabbos. We probably say it once a year. For those of us who say Tefillah Zaka on Erev Yom Kippur, it says Hareini Mekabel Alatzmi Kedushas Yom Kippurim for this and this and this and this. That most of us do say. I hope we say. It's important to say. And Tefillah Zaka. But on Shabbos, most of us don't say Hareini Mekabel Shabbos in advance. The only time we probably do this is if we make what we call, in our language, early Shabbos. If we make early Shabbos in the summertime, and we'll say Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos, and they will even say, if we do it really early, which is the right way to do it, so we'll say Baruch Hu, and we'll say Shmoneh Esrei Mekadesh HaShabbos, and we'll even make Kiddush. So that's a formal acceptance of the Shabbos. Yes? Unless there's an Eruv. There's an Eruv you can carry.
No, but I'm saying the word that you say Hareini Mekabel, that means that the Mekabel, the Yom Kippur itself, or the spiritual aspect of it.
I don't know. I'm not such a spiritual person. But I read the Mavzer. It says, it gives chapter and verse. I'm a Kabbal, the Yisr, Malacha, the Yisr, Achil, and the Yisr, Shasir. To my mind, as a plain Jew, that's what you're Mekabel. That's what you're accepting.
So you get your Mekabel again.
At that time. That's why I don't think it's safe to say Tefillah Zaka at home. Say it in shul. That's why we, in our shul, we call Kol Nidre for a very early time. People can come and say the Tefillah Zaka. I think it's a very, again, you're right, it's a digression, but it's a very important digression. If nothing comes out but that, this whole shir, it will be Kedai. You should say Tefillah Zaka, but say it in shul, and there's no going back. Okay. As a matter of fact, the Ritva, number 11, has a much more rigorous definition of what is Tosefta Shabbos. Number one, he demands it, which our custom does not demand. And number two, he tells you what exactly it is. He says, this Tosefes is before, is Mizman Tchilas Shkia Sachara Atman Ben Ashmoshes, which is Gimel Milin Revia Mil. Now you know what it is. It's 3 1/4 mil from the astronomical sunset until Ben Ashmoshes begins, according to Rabbeinu Tam. In that period of time, Rotz, it's based on the Ramban, Rotzel Asoso Kulo Kodesh Osu, Mitzoso Osu. How does, how do you do this? It's not enough to say I'm Kabbal Shabbos. It's not enough to cease and desist. Clear as day in the Ritva that if you must be Mekabbal Shabbos to fulfill this mitzvah, the rice of Tosefta Shabbos, either with davening Ma'ariv or saying Kiddush. You must. It's not enough to sing Bo'i Chala, Bo'i Chala. Even Mizmor Shir won't be enough. Nothing. Tefillah or Kiddush. You're saying, what are you saying? Mekadesh HaShabbos. That is Tosefta Shabbos. And according to the Ritva, I'm sorry to say that, well, it depends. If you take the Ritva in Toto, we're okay. If you take the Ritva in Toto and then combine with Rabbeinu Tam, we're all okay. Because we're saying Mekadesh HaShabbos before Rabbeinu Tam's Shkia Shniyah. But if you want to be, you know, take the Vilna Gaon's opinion, at the same time combine that with the Ritva's view of Tosefta Shabbos, I'm sorry to say that almost all of us are mevatel the mitzvah of the rice of Tosefta Shabbos week in and week out, except for those few who are davening early in the summertime. That's what he says. You need tefillah or kiddush. That's what the Ritva says. May I suggest that the Bahag holds the same way, but the Bahag has one addition. The same thing can be achieved by one more bracha. What is that bracha? Mahadlik ner shel Shabbos. That's a formal bracha along the lines of Mekadesh shel Shabbos. And therefore, once you make that bracha, as we saw in Rabbeinu Peretz, once you make that bracha, it's mandatory. A person cannot make a daven ma'ariv and I'll make a tana. I'll daven ma'ariv Friday and I'll make a tana and I'm not going to kabbal Shabbos. I'll daven ma'ariv at home and I'll drive to shul, you know, one of those early Shabbos. You can't do that. By the way, since let's go back to your digression, there's one other bracha which if you make it, you can no longer make a tana. What is that? Shechayana on Yantif. Those who make Shechayanu when they light candles, which is another discussion. But once you say Shechayanu, you may no longer do Malacha. It's another problem for the women on Yom Kippur. Some say make Shechayanu and the Neiris, and then they drive to Shul. That's not allowed for the same reason. That's Manazeh. You accept it with a formal bracha. In any event, that I believe is pshat in the Baal Halachas Gedolos. It's the bracha that's the Kabbalah, not the Hadlaka itself. Those who want to look, you'll see Rabbi Kiveg as a Kasha, in Simon Reish Samar Gimel Sivches. And the answer to his question is based upon this. He says that he doesn't say the he doesn't understand it's the bracha. He thinks it's the hadlaka itself. So pasha pshat, it really is the bracha, as we see here in the Rabbeinu Peretz. That's again according to the view that accepts the Baal Halachas Gedolos as being absolutely mandatory Kabbalah Shabbos when the bracha of the Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos is in fact made. Now, when the Ritva says Kiddush and Ma'ariv, what happened to Kabbalah Shabbos? What happened to the bracha of Neiros Shabbos? Why did the Ritva say it's only Kiddush and Ma'ariv? Didn't the Ritva know about the bracha of the Hadlik Neiros Shabbos? What's wrong with that? I have a suggestion. My suggestion is based on the Ramban, which the Ran quotes in Masechta Shabbos. When the Ran quotes Masechta Shabbos, the Ramban who attacks the Baal Halachas Gedolos is a somewhat different phraseology. Unfortunately, the Ran is not on the Bar Ilan yet, so that's why you don't have it in front of you. But he says over there, well, he doesn't understand the Baal Halachas Gedolos. What's he talking about that Ner Shabbos is a Kabbalah? The only time we find Kabbalah is on Erev Yom Kippur, when we say Shechianu, and he repeats twice, when we say Shechianu, look at the Ran, it's page Yudim and Aleph Adap Erif. When we say Shechianu, that's a Kabbalah. Why does he keep emphasizing Shechianu? So I believe that the Ramban, remember, is the Rosh Hashiva of the school that the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, it's all coming from the same source. The Ramban and the Ritva probably have the same opinion that the only time you could possibly have the Kabbalah Shabbos is with a bracha. So where do you have it? Either Kiddush or the Ma'ariv or Shechianu. So what about the Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos? So my hunch is, it's a hunch, that the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva all hold like Rabbeinu Meshulam. Who's Rabbeinu Meshulam? Contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam. He held there's no bracha whatsoever on Hadlakas Ner Shabbos. Doesn't exist. Tosis quotes it, you know, anonymously in Chafeim and Beis Shabbos. Why? Because it's Chova. It's like Maya Machronim Chova, there's no bracha. Or as others would put it, Onik Shabbos, will say. Do you make a bracha when you eat chont? That's a bigger Onik Shabbos, one could argue. So there's no bracha. So that's what he means. If there's no bracha, it cannot possibly be considered a Kabbalah's Shabbos. That's my understanding of the Ramban. When he contrasts it to Shechianum, where there is a bracha, I think he holds, as the Ritva seems to hold, as the Rabbi Meshulam does hold, that there's no bracha. That's my understanding of the Shitas Ramban, as the Ran quotes it. One could distinguish and say, even if there is a bracha on Neiros Shabbos, it's not the same as the bracha of Ma'ariv or Kiddush. Because they say Mekadesh HaShabbos. That means it's now Shabbos. Even Shechianu, Lazman Hazeh, it's now Zman Hazeh, it's now Yom Kippur. But if I'm making a bracha of Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, it's a Ner Shel Shabbos, and I'm not even for Shabbos. Even with, one could even say there is a bracha, but again, my guess is that he holds it's not even a bracha. Fine. Says the Ramban, since the Baal Halachas Gedolos is wrong, the proper order is the reverse. You're supposed to light Ner Shabbos and then Ner Chanukah. Dafka that way. Why? Who can give me a guess? Why should Ner Shabbos be first? Yeah, you all guessed right. Tadir B'Sheino Tadir Kodem. Tadir Kodem. So therefore you have to light the Ner Shabbos before the Ner Chanukah. The Ramban adds, it's Tadir Umeshubach. What do you mean, Tadir Umeshubach? What kind of language is that? So if you look at it, I don't have it in front, if you look in the Ran says that if a person can only light one candle, what should he light? Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah? He has no money, he only has one. What's it? Why? Shalom Beis HaWadim. Shalom Beis. That's what I believe the word Meshubach means. And the Ramban is equating Tadir V'she'eno Tadir Tadir Kodem in the sense of chronological precedence with Tadir V'she'eno Tadir Tadir Kodem in the sense of which has the greater priority if you can only afford one, if you can only do one of them. I said a chabur a while ago in the Kerlu, that's printed in the Kol Tzvi, that this seems to be the Yerushalmi's view to equate chronological precedence with what we'll call priority if you can only do one. The Babli seems to have room for distinction. But then when the Ramban says, and the Ramban quotes it, Tadir u'meshubach, I believe Meshubach means that it's in the context, just like Ner Beso will be used instead of Ner Chanukah, if you only have enough money for one. So too does the chronological order. He seems to be equating these two. It's interesting, I didn't see anywhere that someone should raise the issue, which the Gemara has in Menachos, of Tadir u'mekudosh. Because Haneiros Halalu, as we all said, Kodeshen. Whereas Ner Shabbos is not Kodesh. I mean, some of the Nusach Lehadik Ner Shabbos Kodesh, that's not in the original text anyway. But, you know, it's not, there's no Kedusha to it, in the same sense as Ner Chanukah has Kedusha to it. On the contrary, it's Nitin Lahano, as opposed to Ner Chanukah, which is Einon Rishus Hashtamish Behem. Okay, so this is a question. Now, there's a fascinating issue which I will discuss briefly, which again didn't make it into the Makoros for technical reasons, I apologize. And that is, when does an individual daven mincha on a Friday of Chanukah or Erev Chanukah? When do you daven mincha? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Surah Nachronim who say it's preferred that a person davens mincha before hadlakas ner Chanukah. Anyone also, they have a minyan, an earlier minyan for those who want to keep this Mishnah Berurah. The truth is, as the latest Svarim say, this was not kept by most people. It's difficult to get a minyan together, and Tefillah B'Tzibur is very important, and we should not be docha Tefillah B'Tzibur just for this concept. It's not right. It's not right. Fine. Two separate and distinct reasons are given for davening mincha before you light the neros of Chanukah. Two. If you look on the Shari Tshuva, Siman Tafresh Ayin Tes, Sivkot and Aleph, he explains as follows. The mincha is keneged the tamid. Neros Chanukah are keneged the neros. And we well know that the Korban Tamid is before the Neros. As the Korban Tamid is before the Neros, so therefore we should daven Mincha before Hadlakas HaNeros. Who davens in the morning? Who davens in the morning? Show of hands, who davens in the morning? Okay. Who says Karbonis a little bit in the morning? Okay, so how does it go? Avaya Havim Esadar. Okay, so you should know what's going on. So we know by heart. Vatovas Chamesh Neiros Kodemes. What does it say in the Siddur? Who? The one has a Siddur in the room? Look it up. Very good. The Gemara tells us, the Masechta Yuma, they have to split up the first five Neiros with the last two Neiros. True. As we split with something. What's in between? Come on, just I know it's a machlokes. So reach into your memory. What does your memory tell you about? No, come on, let's go. You have to say that. The Dama Tavet, correct? Dama Tavet, Kodan Atavet, Shtei Neiros, Atavet, Shtei Neiros, Kodan Atavet, Shtei Neiros. So what's he saying over here? He says that you're supposed to light the, to the Tavet before the Neiros. It's not true. Most of the Neiros are before the Tavet. Perhaps what he means that the Rambam paskens, like the Rabbanan against Avishol, that the it's the Ketores that's in between the five Neiris and the two Neiris, and the Talmud is earlier. Okay, and that's what he means. Yeah, that's what he means. But it's still not simple. There's a Tosaf Masechta Brachos of Chazayin that says Michavov that Tfilas HaMincha that we daven is not connected the Korban Talmud proper, but rather it's connected the Ketores. So one can argue twice over against this Sharia Tshuva. Even if you take its basic premise, this, connected that, we can argue either according to Abishol or according to the Tosis and Brachas, it would come out differently. In any event, this has nothing to do whatsoever with Shabbos. This is applied, of course, during the week as well. It's interesting, according to the Ritva, who has his first Shkia and second Shkia, so then, presumably, Mincha would come first. But again, I'm not going into that now by reason we don't follow the Ritva. The Shaar HaTzion there quotes a Prima Gadol. Prima Gadol has a more famous reason. If I ask you a two-word reason, why is it that you daven Mincha if you can before Hadlokas Ner Chanukah? Two words. I don't know what phrase comes to your mind. That's right. Tarti Disasri. That's exactly what the Prima Gadol says. What do we mean by Tarti Disasri? Means that when you're lighting Ner Chanukah, what are you in effect saying? It's night. And then you go daven Mincha, which says what? It's day. It's a kind of a tardy disaster. It's a problem. I have a problem with this. The problem is that where do we know this tardy disaster from? We know this from another similar context. Anybody know? First Tosfos and Shas talks about tardy disaster. The first Tosfos and Shas. Who knows what I'm talking about? Mincha Ma'ariv. Mincha Ma'ariv. That's one of the unfortunate Tarta Disaster is very prevalent in the American Orthodox scene, unfortunately. That those, we spoke earlier about those who are davening earlier in the summertime, that at least they caught to the Ritva a few weeks, they have Mekayim for Sefer Shabbos, but sometimes they will daven both Mincha and Maariv in that zone. What do we mean that zone? The zone between Plaga Mincha and Shkia. And Tarsus, you can't do that. That's a Tarta Disaster. Either you view that zone as day, or review that zone as night. You can't have it both. But that's no good, even if you daven Mincha before Maariv. So, if you're worried about Tarta Disasri on Chanukah, how's it going to help? You'll say, I'll daven Mincha, and then I'll light Ner Shabbos. It's still no good. Ner Chanukah, it's still no good. What are you going to have to do? Daven Mincha when? Before Plaga Mincha. Not enough to daven Mincha before you light the Ner Chanukah. Enough to daven Mincha before Plaga Mincha. But that's taken care of anyway, because Plaga Mincha is an hour before the sun sets. It's too close. Even in Austria, we made it at 3 o'clock. It was comfortably before Plaga Mincha, which is much closer to 3:30. Okay, but this is to keep it in mind. It would have to be before Plaga Mincha, according to this understanding, as opposed to the Shaarei Teshuva. It wouldn't have to be before Plaga Mincha, just in order about the, you know, the corresponding to the Tumid and the Neiros. Of course, the problem is, and this is raised by a sefer called the Piskei Tshuvos on the Mishnah Brura, where he asks the Kasha, what do you mean that once you're lighting Ner Chanukah, it's considered to be, quote, night, and therefore you are going to have Mincha before? What are you talking about? After you finish the Ner Chanukah, what do? You're Madlik Ner Shabbos. You're not allowed to Ner Shabbos on Shabbos. So they can't tell me that, you know, I'm considering it, quote, night. So you're not in Ner Shabbos anyway. So once you're not in Ner Shabbos anyway, so why not have a Mincha too? That's his kasha. So I want to answer this question as follows. This is the answer. Fundamentally, Ner Shabbos is a mitzvah Shabbos. And if it were not, you know, like look, Luyu Tzuyu, were it not be for the Isser of Hadlokas Neiris on Shabbos, we could argue one should really like the Neiris on Shabbos. I'm saying, were it not, we chalila to do it. But it's fundamentally, it's a mitzvah that's mad of Shabbos. So therefore, if you are going to be Madlik Ner Chanukah, and then thereafter be Madlik Ner Shabbos, so what you're doing is, you're doing two things, each of which is, we'll call it Shabbos day. It belongs to the night. And that, therefore, is not considered to be a Tarta D'Sasri. As opposed to Mincha. Mincha is a Mitzvah Shabbayom. So once we are doing the Hadlokas near Chanukah, which is a Mitzvah Laila, so it wouldn't be right to have a Davin Mincha, which is a Mitzvah Hayom. That's what I think is the answer to that question of the Piskei Tshuvos. Let me just conclude with one final thought, which is, why is it, in fact, that the custom has arisen that the Bahag that we spoke about, this Baal Achas Gedolos and Hilchas Chanukah that we spent time on, is considered in the default position to be an acceptance of Shabbos by women and not by men? That's what it says in all the Poskim. I showed it to you, in number 9. Why should it be that way? It's hard to understand. Why should it be? Either yes or no. Now, clearly, if it's mandatory, as Rabbeinu Peretz said, no difference, men or women. Absolutely no difference. But our custom has been to reject the Rabbeinu Peretz's purest version of the Baal Achas Gedolos and to accept the middle position. That yes, we'll consider it to be a kind of a Kabbalah Shabbos, but only for women if there's no Tanaim. And the question is why? Why are women different than men? It's a good question. It's hard to know the answer to that question. So perhaps it goes back to what we said earlier, that the Baal Achas Gedolos himself held, and many Rishonim held that way, that Tosefes Shabbos is really mandatory. You must have a Tosefes Shabbos. Men, traditionally, if you look back at the Sfarim, they always made early Shabbos. In what sense they always make early Shabbos? Not so early like we have in the summer. They were always makbid to daven Ma'ariv early on Friday night. So that the men would actually say Mekadesh HaShabbos before the sunset. And if not that, they would at least be saying Bismar Shili on HaShabbos, which, again, according to the Ritva, won't be enough, but according to us, is enough, before the sun sets. That was clearly the minhag. I'll bring you a proof. In most shuls, if someone, Rachman L'Tzan, is an Avelus, they give a bang on the table, and what do they say? Hamoki Menachem, and then what do you say after that? Bismar Shili on HaShabbos. That's the Kabbalah Shabbos, not before. It's a question with the Bowie Kala, it's a question. But that was the old minhag. For us, in our shuls, we do it to this day, it's almost a mockery. Because by the time you're saying Bismar Shili on HaShabbos, the sun is long set beneath the horizon. So it's already Shabbos. So I myself, I'm going to tell you what to do. I say Shabbos Himil Nachem and Nechama Krov Olava, which is what the preferred Nusach on Shabbos. Though Hamak is also okay on Shabbos, according to other opinions. But you see, there was a custom clearly that they say Bismar Shir before dark, Baruch Hu before dark, many places even Mara before dark. Hence, this existed. Only one thing: the women didn't daven Ma'ariv. Even the Mishnah Berurah, the biggest machmir, says the women are potter for Ma'ariv. So therefore, they wanted to have their kind of a Kabbalah Shabbos. So perhaps that's why the custom in certain places was that the woman who lit the candles would be Mekabel Shabbos by saying by the Hadlakas Aneres, and should make the Baruch Halachah Neshel Shabbos, whereas the man would have his opportunity to do so when he daven Ma'ariv, an opportunity which women didn't take advantage of. That's one possibility. We can go a little bit further than that. The custom which the Shulchan Aruch quotes and the Magen Avraham endorses as being the prevalent custom of his time was that women didn't daven at all. At most, they were chayav in one tefillah a day, like the Rambam Shita, and they certainly wouldn't daven mincha. So we can perhaps explain it on more practical grounds. The poskim say that once a person's mekabel Shabbos, you're not supposed to daven mincha. If you mekabel it explicitly, not just a cease and desist, we said earlier. So, you know, I was in a rush in Erev Shabbos. So most men would be running off to daven mincha. So therefore, if they're lighting candles, most can't have a daven mincha yet. So in the typical case, there's no kabbalah Shabbos. Contrast as to women who usually would not daven mincha. So for them, they would why not do follow the Bahag Shita and be mekabel Shabbos a bit earlier. Those are two possibilities. I'd like to end with just a little bit of a chizuk for us. We spoke about a concept of Tosefes Shabbos, and the whole theme of Chanukah is also Tosefes. Mosif Aholich. Tosefes is, for us, a critical ingredient of life. For an individual to stand still and not to be moving, not to doing anything, is stagnation. It's terrible. It's terrible. We always have to be trying to move and to be increasing our spirituality. The Vilna Gaon says in Mishlei and the Pasuk that we were taught, Ora chayim lemala lemaskil leman sur mishol mata. The Gaon explains, if you're not lemala lemaskil, if you're not going up, you're going down. Or as someone put it more recently, life is like a down escalator. If you're not going up, you're being pulled down. So we have to always being mosif in our ruchnias, being mosif in our Shabbos, being mosif in our Chanukah. The Maharal Prague points out that Chanukah begins in Chaf Hei Kislev, which in his Maharal view of the world is the longest and darkest night of the year. It's exactly 3 months after Chaf Hei Be'elul when the world was created. Not other when the world was created, which is presumably the equinox, that's the winter solstice. So writes the Maharal. And every day thereafter, there's a little bit of a suffer. You know, the days get a little bit longer and longer and longer. And ultimately, our gula will be, as Chazal tells us in the Yerushalmi, Kach gulasim shel Yisrael, kimo kimo, like the Alos HaShach, getting a little bit lighter and a little bit lighter. But that's not going to happen, unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it when we're not deserving. If we're going to deserve it in any way, it's only if we're going to be mosif. We're going to be adding. Add a little bit. That's the whole essence of Chanukah. Every person, Basher Husham, should add something. And we should add in two senses. We should add in time. That's the concept of Tosef HaShabbos that we spoke about. A person should be adding in time. So, first let me say, if I may, we should be Mosif on Shabbos. Kipshuto. I remember once heard from the Rav, Zichron Levracha. He said, you know, he's seen a lot of progress in the last 30 years, he said, in Shmiras Shabbos. And you know, it's reaching a level. When he first came, it was terrible, and it got much better. We've almost like approximated what it was in the Alta Haim in Europe. We have this concept of Shmiras Shabbos. But what's completely missing, he said, in his day, was the Erev Shabbos. He would then get wax eloquent about the Yid that would sit there, you know, before Shabbos and waiting, quote the Rambam, and the way Miyachel, and it's Sapeh, waiting with expectation and anxiety, when is Shabbos going to come? Contrast this to the average Yid today, who's running out of the shower with his hair wet, and he's flying, and his keys in the car, and pulling into the driveway, huffing and puffing, and while they're already starting to have mincha, it's too close to call, even sometimes before the sun. We haven't yet appreciated what it means to Tosef Shabbos on Friday. And I'm sorry to say, even on Motzoi Shabbos, my last appearance here, I think, was Motzoi Shabbos, Erev Yom Kippur. And I think I mentioned briefly then that Motzoi Shabbos, what's the rush? Where's everybody running out of shul? Where are you going? The Rebbe would say about the Yidden in Europe who would try to hold on to the Shabbos as long as possible. Because on Shabbos they were princes, and then go on to the weekend, they'd be the simple water carriers. That was one of these, I think it's printed even in one of the Rav's rushes. So we should, let's hold on to the Kedushas of Shabbos. Be Mosif at the beginning and be Mosif at the end. But we should also be Mosif for Holech in our Ner Chanukah as well. Of course, Ner Chanukah represents Torah, Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. Every person should try to add a little bit of Kedusha, a little bit of Torah. And the schus of our adding this light of Torah, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu add to the light of the Mashiach and bring him B'mehera V'yameinu Amen.